God bless you this morning, Times Square Church. How wonderful it is to be in the presence of God. What a foretaste of glory divine, as the scripture, as the one hymn writer wrote. Pleasure this morning to have Pastor Rick Hagins and his lovely wife Kim with us today. Pastor Rick was the commencement speaker yesterday at the graduation at Summit International School of Ministry in Grantville, Pennsylvania. And what an amazing graduation that was. The worship was very much like this. Presence of God as thick as oil. The joy of the Lord was everywhere. Testimonies abounding of young people set free. Pastors have come in from a lot of different places because of the report of what God is doing there. Thank the Lord. It's an amazing moment. It's just thank God. Lebanon Christian College has offered the graduates of Summit International School of Ministry an opportunity online to take several courses that would take about a year and grant them a Bachelor of Arts degree. And folks, the Assemblies of God are at least considering, as I understand it, I think the curriculum is about three courses short of what is required to be credentialed with the Assemblies of God. So there's so many opportunities and wonderful things that the Lord is opening up to a new covenant group of young people who are completely, they're free in Christ. They found their identity in Christ, and the definition of ministry is living for the benefit of others. That's the motto of the school, and that's what ministry is all about. And young people come out with that understanding that we are servants to all and we live and minister for the benefit of others. The tuition is still $6,000 and room and board. And we have a chef from Ireland there as well. Talk about fruit and a salad bar every day. And folks, you couldn't buy food for that for a year. And you have an opportunity, young people that are I don't know what the age limit is there. I think it's 39. But for those who have not considered this, I would encourage you to consider it. And next week is the anniversary of the first year anniversary of the death of Pastor David Wilkerson. And in honor of him, there are many people who wanted to do something to commemorate that and have not been given the opportunity, but now you have. There are two funds been established by Summit International School, both of which can be handled through the church here. And one is the David Wilkerson Memorial Fund, and that is a fund that is scholarship money available for qualified students who obviously show financial need but have great potential to succeed. The other is the Cross and the Switchblade Fund for young people, particularly from urban areas, who have a burden for young people in our urban cities. And folks, it's an awesome opportunity. For $6,000, you and I can send a young person through college, literally, and give them an opportunity at $6,000 a year for an education. I know Pastor Teresa, I don't want to say too much on her behalf, but Pastor Teresa's goal is that about 25 or so students would be scholarshiped every year from the inner cities who otherwise perhaps may not have an opportunity for an education. And especially a strong biblical foundation. And that's the heart of Pastor David Wilkerson. That was the heart of his ministry. And I think it's the best way we could honor him as a people. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. The Lord so touched my life yesterday. I feel like dancing all over again this morning. He just touched my life. I mean, I have tithed my wife for 2 years to that school. And you know what that's all about. And it would be an awful thing if you didn't see a return on your investment. But yesterday I see the dignity and grace that God has given her, the wisdom. She gets up at 6 o'clock every morning and prays till 8:20 and doesn't do anything other than what the Holy Spirit tells her to do. And the rest is history. God is blessing that campus. She told me that she feels the Lord told her in 5 years that's going to be a very difficult school to get into. We just built a baseball diamond. We're going to have a ball team next year and invite some of the community teams to come in and play the school. We're believing God for a running track. If anybody here has a spare million on you today, I want a nice one. I want a six-lane, you know, one of those rubber ones with a soccer field in the middle of it. And folks, we're doing this for the next generation. We have to invest in the next generation. Thank God. Thank God. I am the biggest fan of that school, I think, at the moment, so I praise God for that. It was awesome to see the young people and the joy when they threw their hats into the air. You know, they say graduation is a time when some very intelligent people throw some sharp pointed objects up into the air that can take your eye out when they come down. There was joy. There was joy, there was joy, there was joy in the house of the Lord. There was joy among the people. And even after everybody left, there was a brooding presence of God stayed on the campus. That's the only way you can describe. Pastor Rick knows what I'm talking about. He was out there last night. You literally feel the presence of God on the property. What a privilege to sow 50 to 75 young people into the marketplace every year who are free in Christ, who know their identity in Christ, who love God, love ministry, love people. SummitPA.org, if you're wondering where that campus is and what it looks like. Father, I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the truth and the strength of your word. I thank you for your mercy, because if it were not for mercy, none of us could stand today. We are all the recipients of incredible grace. Lord, I'm asking you to anoint me. Bear witness to what comes from your heart. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you'll give us an inner witness of that which is truth. And stir our hearts, Lord, to believe you, especially in this generation. And Father, I thank you with everything in my heart today. In Jesus' name. Psalm 78, please, if you'll go there. Psalm 78, the title of my message this morning, Is Not This the Carpenter? Is Not This the Carpenter? Psalm 78, I'm going to begin reading at verse 52. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Now he's talking about when he brought his own people, Israel, out of the bondage of Egypt and led them on a journey that was supposed to lead to promise. And he brought them, verse 54, to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them and divided them an inheritance by line. In other words, he established their borders and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among them, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouts by reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts and put them to a perpetual reproach. I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual awakening. Now, spiritual awakening has different contexts. Now, it can be an individual awakening. It can be a personal one. And Paul said to Timothy, for example, stir up the gift that is within you. Spiritual awakening happens when you and I make a determination. I've been spiritually lazy. I've not been praying. I've not been a student of the Word of God. And then suddenly we are stirred inside to say, there's more for my life than what I'm living as a Christian. I'm going to get back in the prayer closet. I hear about these miracles in other people's lives, and it's not sufficient for me to hear somebody else's report. I want a report that is alive in my own heart. And so I can honestly tell you, if you set your face to seek God, then all these things will be added to you. Everything that you're focused on, everything you need will come. You'll have an awakening. You'll have a new song. You'll have a testimony. That is the truth. If you personally set your face to a renewed seeking of God. There's awakenings that happen in churches. Periodically in our time, there'll be pastors and leaders that seek God, and they start to bring a living word, and subsequently there's an awakening. The worship is not boring. It's not entertainment in the house. There's no strobe lights necessary to try to produce the presence of God, because God is there. And there's an awakening in that church. There's a focus of the heart, the word, the mission, the mandate of God becomes the focus of the congregation. It can happen in small churches, it can happen in large churches, and it can be localized awakenings. But there's a third type of an awakening, a spiritual awakening that is not the initiative of man, it is the initiative of God. It is his choice to produce this awakening. It has happened throughout history. America has known some great awakenings. 1857, for example, there was a young preacher just starting to preach, former businessman called Jeremiah Lanphier, put up posters on telephone poles at that time, saying, if you are as concerned about the future of this nation as I am, would you join me in prayer? And what started out to be a small prayer meeting ended up being a national awakening, with hundreds of thousands of people coming into the kingdom of God, prayer meetings all over New York City, which spread to various parts of the country. And the predominant characteristic of these prayer meetings is that nobody was leading them except the Holy Spirit. There would be people standing and making confessions. I remember hearing one report of a chambermaid who stood up and confessed that she stole a watch from the house she was cleaning, looking after, and it got in the paper. Imagine today what people would be confessing. That was news back then, but it was a genuine repentance because God had initiated an awakening. This type of awakening most often follows a lengthy season, as we read about in Psalm 78, where the testimony of Christ in a society through the carelessness of God's own people, it seems one more time to have been taken captive by the godlessness of this world. Verse 60 says, he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh. That's his own dwelling place among the people, the tent which he placed among them, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemies. His glory is manifested through a people. It's always been that way with God. Yes, he's capable of manifesting his glory in the heavens. He can manifest his glory any way he wants, but he has made the choice to partner with you and I, and it's through a people that he has in the earth that he manifests his glory, the weightiness as it is of who he really is. And he gave his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over to the sword and was wroth with his own inheritance. The fire consumed their young men. Their maidens were not given to marriage. The priests fell by the sword, and the widows made no lamentation. Now, first of all, you and I must understand that God cannot be contained, he cannot be limited, and he cannot be destroyed. Anybody who says we're going to push God out of our society is an abject idiot. There's no other way to describe. It's like a man in this church standing up all of a sudden and said, just a moment, folks, with my hands, I'm going to push the air out of this sanctuary. The air is everywhere. God is omnipresent. How do you push somebody who's everywhere out of anywhere? You simply can't. Push the one who created all things and by him, Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, that means every king, every government, every country, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You cannot contain God. And anybody who thinks you can push Christ out of our school system, out of our courts, anywhere in the nation, is just displaying an absolute lack of intelligence. David said in Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth get together. The rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. That means his church, his people. They're saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. In other words, the restrictiveness, as they see it, of Judeo-Christian thought. Let us get together and let us push this out of our borders. Let's break these cords from off of us. We want to be free to do whatever we want to do and call evil good and call good evil. The scripture says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in confusion or derision. He will laugh at them. He will look down. But verse 5 of the same song says, then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Then there's a moment where God says, I will no longer let my name be mocked. I'll no longer let people think that they have the upper hand. I'll no longer let the unregenerate believe that they have the right to push me out of anywhere and anything I've created or anything that is sustained by the power of my hand. It says, then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep and as a mighty man shouts by reason of wine and smote his enemy in the hinder parts and put them to a perpetual reproach. Even Christ himself said in John chapter 10, verse 18, no man takes it from me. He's talking about his life. But I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. He is in absolute control of everything. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Now, the question we ask ourselves this morning is this. If Jesus is choosing to bring his own name to glory one more time, or perhaps even one last time, in the hour in which we are alive, before he returns, then what could hinder it? If he chooses, what if we are in a season where God has said, I'm going to glorify my name one more time. I'm going to glorify my name through my people, my church, my testimony on the earth. The answer is simple. Verse 66 talks about he came upon his enemies so quickly, in a sense, those who were technically corralling his people in a certain direction or into a certain patterns of thinking and belief and behavior. And he came upon them so swiftly they didn't have time to turn around. He came upon them with such fury. And he put all of their plans and all of their schemes and all of their strength to a reproach. What could hinder this powerful touch of God? The only answer I can think of is it's the inability of his own people, whom he's chosen to glorify his own name in the earth, to realize they've been set free to do so. It's amazing. People get used to going in a certain direction, quite often making peace with their situation, and even forming in their minds spiritual reasonings to justify that which brings absolutely no glory to Jesus Christ. Listen to Psalm 78, what the psalmist says in verse 63. The fire consumed their young men. In other words, the young men are given to passion. Their maidens were not given to marriage. There's a breakdown in the home. There's a breakdown in the family. There's a societal breakdown starting to happen in our time that's even affecting the church of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing the statistic that the fornication and divorce rates in the church are matching that of the world. Now, you might be satisfied with that, but I'm not satisfied. I'm sick and tired of that statistic, and I'm asking God to turn it, and turn it quickly, and turn it powerfully. Verse 64 says their priests fell by the sword and their widows made no lamentation. In other words, there was falling and failing in the ministry was so commonplace that it was just like, well, ho-hum, next. Another pastor commits adultery. Ho-hum, next. Another one is found in some club. Next. No lamenting because there's no trust anymore. Trust is broken down. Morality is broken down. And folks, there's a point. Well, the Lord awakes, even though there's no sorrow, no seeking, and there's only resignation among his own people. There's a point where God just simply wakes up as it is. It's not waking up, but he awakes and says, enough of this. I'm going to bring my name to reputation one more time. I'm going to fly upon your enemies. I'm going to so destroy them that you have the power to get up and rebuild again. You have the power to go home. You have the power to glorify my name in this generation. Breaking into the ranks of his enemies so powerfully that they can't turn around. They don't have time to turn around. Making a breach as it is in the enemy's wall and inviting whoever wants to come back to a life of power and abundance that is available to all who belong to Jesus Christ. It's a type of what God said to his own people, Israel, a day to be fulfilled. Let me read it to you from Ezekiel chapter 36. He says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I don't do this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I'm going to be set apart. I'm going to be declared to be powerful, glorious, almighty, everlasting, all-providing God. And I'm going to do it in you, he says to his people Israel, before the eyes of the heathen. I will take you from among the heathen. I will gather you out of the places you've been. I'll bring you into your own land. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. I'll cleanse you from your filthiness and your idols. I'll put in you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. I'll take away the stony heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. I'll save you from your uncleanness. I'll call for provision and lay no famine upon you. I'll multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. I'll cause you to dwell in the cities. I'll cause the waste places to be built. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. I'll be sanctified in you, he said, before their eyes. But how sad it is that not everyone is willing to turn in the direction to which he's calling them. Go with me, please, in the New Testament to Mark chapter 6, if you will. Mark chapter 6. Historically, not everybody gets up to go home. You think of the King Cyrus at the time where the Medo-Persians had literally kept captivated, they inherited the captivation of the people of God from the Babylonians. And a king writes a decree that anybody who wants to can get up and go home. And they can rebuild a temple, which the prophets are telling them is going to exceed the former glory. How many were given the option to go home and how many chose not to? Chapter 6, he went out from thence and came into his own country. This is Jesus, Mark chapter 6. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence or where has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now here's the key to powerlessness. Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. This speaks about a people who are familiar with Jesus. He's been in their town. His name is known. They've gone to his shop. They know his father. They know his mother as they think. They think they know his father. They only know his stepfather. They can recount a lot of things about him. But suddenly one day he appears and he's talking about something deeper, more powerful than anything they've known. The same as in Luke 4:18 when he steps into the temple and he unlocks the book of Isaiah and says, I've come to preach to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to release the captives, to heal the broken in heart, to have the treasure of God as it is released to those who are living in poverty. And the first thing out of their mouths they say is this not the son of Joseph? Like, we know him. We know where he comes from. How is he saying? You see, we can get so familiar. We can get just so familiar with things. We get so familiar with church. We get so familiar with the way things are done. We get so familiar with singing our songs and taking our offerings and saying our things. And we create a familiar Jesus. And then suddenly he comes to bring an awakening. And that's exactly what he was doing in his own town. That's exactly what he was doing in Luke 4 in the temple. But when he comes to his own, as John says, his own, they can't receive him because it's so different than what they've become used to. He's calling them to something deeper, more profound, something supernatural. And they say, well, this is not the carpenter. I mean, we know him, and he's built small things for us. You know, they didn't mind. They didn't mind him fixing their chairs. You know, they had relegated Jesus to 7 steps to build a good chair. How to polish your table. Now, maybe he made nice furniture and they knew that. But now he's standing in the temple and he's claiming a knowledge. He's claiming a purpose. He's expounding on a might that is beyond what they had settled in their minds him to be. And they said, this is preposterous. The scripture says they were offended. And you can hear the people saying, he's given us wisdom to keep our tables and chairs in good repair, but calling us to join him to build a kingdom for his glory. This is absurd. Where would we get the materials? What is he talking about, my Father's kingdom? The glory of the temple that God is determining to build in the earth. And he's somehow given us the power to do this. And Jesus claims to be the ambassador of Almighty God, the Son of God, come to give us the resources to build this incredible testimony in the earth. Absolutely absurd. And that's what religion does time and again through every generation. If Christ himself stood in this pulpit this morning, there would still be people here that would say, this is absurd. My life is what it's always been. I've always been in this prison. I've always been wounded in my heart. I've always been bruised in my mind. I've always suffered from spiritual and physical poverty. But my God, I have a nice chair at home and a nice chair in church that Jesus has given to me. But now he's talking to me about doing something deeper, farther, something that is supernatural, something that is sovereign. And he seems to be calling me in my poverty. Even if in our time the invitation has come again to return to a supernatural life of faith and miracles, sad to say some will ponder it, but decide to return to the powerless but familiar. It is always religion that will resist the move of God. Isn't it amazing? The drunk in his vomit will embrace it on the street, but the man who sat and heard the name Jesus for most of his life will resist it. Because it requires an admission that the testimony that has been built through my life is insufficient if God is not being glorified in my workplace, in my school, in my college, in my home, in my family. If Christ is not being glorified, then somehow I've got the wrong materials in my life. It requires a humility before God. Not everyone left Babylon. They were promised safe passage, provision. They were promised that they were going to build a temple which would have a glory that exceeded all that had come before it. They must have just, some people must have thought, well, this is preposterous. I don't care if God named the King Cyrus 150 years before he was born. I don't care if there's clear evidence he's in control of all things, and by him all things consist, and he's able to do whatever he says he will do. I just don't believe he could do it through me. And that is the saddest testimony of anyone who's ever sat in the house of God. You have fashioned an insufficient Jesus. You have fashioned a carpenter. You've fashioned a son of man, not the son of God. You have relegated him to making you a nicer person and giving you the promotion on your job and making you feel good after the end of a difficult week, but you have lost touch of who Jesus Christ really is. He is the Son of God. He has a church on the earth, and that church is you, and that church is me. When I came to him and opened my heart to him as my Lord and Savior, it was not a fuzzy concept of God, was not a scripture verse about God, as wonderful as that is. It was Almighty God himself who came to inhabit this physical temple. I have the living Christ inside of my body, and so do you. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to let him be relegated to building temples and healing a few sick folk. Most churches are happy with that. Oh, if somebody ever got healed in one of our churches today, we'd be talking about it for 30 years. All he could do was heal a few sick folk, it says here. He wanted to do mighty things. Powerful things. I'm not downplaying healing. Thank God when people get healed. But it's bigger than that. We can't be satisfied with a few healings in the house of God when our whole country is sick. Our whole nation is headed for hell. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with just a few healings in the house of God, as wonderful as that is. When our children are in the streets and they don't even know there is a God. When a few arrogant souls have stood up and said, "Thou shalt not teach your children there is a God." I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied to stand and bend before that dude any longer. Put me in the fire if you will, but I'm determined in my heart that Jesus Christ is going to be glorified in this generation. He came to his own, it says in John 1, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. The power. I happen to believe with all my heart we're going to experience one last awakening before Christ comes. One last great ingathering of souls into his kingdom. One last time and season. We're one more time, one more time, one more time. Let the religious study their notes. That's what they're good at. But the lame, the blind, the maimed, the drug addicted, the prostitute, those that live outside are going to press in and find God and find the strength and glory of God once again. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I know I'm going to live to see an awakening because God told me I was going to live to see it. He told me before I could preach. He told me before I'd ever preached a sermon in my life. I saw an awakening where hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people were coming into the kingdom of God. No, sir. No. No Jesus that just builds chairs in my life. No, sir. The Jesus that created the world. The Jesus that spoke the universe into existence. The Jesus that came to the earth as a man. The Jesus that went to a cross. The Jesus that looked the devil in the face and said, "It's finished. It's over." The Jesus that came and stood in the temple and said, "You don't have to be led and dominated by that wound in your life any longer. You don't have to be marginalized by your lack of education or natural strength or lack of royalty or lack of natural ability. You don't have to walk around blind not knowing where you're going any longer. You don't have to be poor because the treasure of God is yours now through Jesus Christ." It's this Jesus that I follow. It's this Jesus. That when he says, "Yes, I'm simply going to walk through the door the rest of my days, walk through every door that God opens, telling every man, telling every woman, you can not only be free, you can become a son or daughter of God, bringing glory to his name in the earth." That's the Christ that I serve. You serve another Christ, God bless you. I hope it works out. But the Christ that I serve created the universe and lives inside of me. Hallelujah. 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 Remember through Isaiah said, come you lame, come you maimed, come you blind, come those that have no money, come those that have no strength, come and buy what you need without money or without price. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People not born of human reasoning, not born of human strength, not born of human will, but born again of God. There is a huge difference. Praise God. Which Jesus now? I believe that the Lord has broken through the ranks of evil. The question is, who's going to turn around and build? Who's going to walk away from sin? Who's going to get out of the self-help group? Who's going to accept the healing of Christ? Who's going to walk in the power of God? Who's going to step through the door? Who's going to preach even though you've never done it in your whole life? Who's going to study and show themselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed or triumphed over? Who's going to go into the prayer closet and say, God Almighty, fill me with fire, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and bring me out alive to give glory to your name? Who's going to bring their Samuel, like Hannah did, back to God and say, Lord, whatever you give me, I'm barren, I'm empty, but oh God, whatever you give me, one thing I'm telling you, I'm bringing it back to your house. I'm bringing it back for your glory. I'm going to give it to you that your name be glorified in the earth. Who is willing in this generation to stand for Jesus Christ? And to let the power of God come into your life. And to break out of mediocrity. And to break away from religious thought. And to let Christ again be glorified in the earth. Who's willing to start a Bible study in your home? Speak up in your school. Who is willing to stand for Christ? Enough of this. Who's willing to stand? My God, my God, my God. I thank God for a young football player in New York who bends his knee before a crowd. But it's time for the church to bend her knee. It's time, Lord. And if they put us in the fire, let them put us in the fire. That's where the fourth man will appear. That's where God will be glorified. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Who is willing to let Christ be Christ? Who's willing to be a vessel through whom God could glorify his name in our generation? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to take a moment to worship. Glory to God. This altar is open, and it's very simple today for everybody who's willing to say, I'm out and I'm in. I'm out of compromise. I'm out of mediocre thinking. I'm out of being in places I shouldn't be. I'm out of doing things I shouldn't do. I'm out of wrong practice, wrong living, wrong thinking. I'm out and I'm in to the kingdom of God. I'm in to being a man or woman through whom Christ will glorify his name. I'm in to letting God tell me what to do and letting God open the door and letting God give me the power. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. If that's you today, join these that are coming as we worship. Let's stand together and we're going to take 20 minutes or so and we're going to worship God and let the Lord begin to speak to your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're not going to leave your glory in the enemy's hand anymore. Thank you, Lord, for freedom and deliverance, for victory. You promised us a new mind. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. Help us to see our calling as you envision it. Give us the heart to embrace it, the courage to follow, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you will glorify your life in the earth in this season we're living in, Lord, and you'll do it through us, your church, your beloved bride, your body on the earth, Lord. There's no other plan. There's no other way, Lord. One day you'll come and every nation will see and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But till then, you have a church. Till then, you reflect your glory. You manifest it through your people. Help us, Lord, not to limit you. Help us not to look you in the eye and say, could you really furnish a table in this wilderness? Deliver us from this sin, O God. Give us faith to believe you and to walk through every door that you open and to believe you for the strength. I pray for those that have come in their heart to this altar today. God, it's moments like these where preachers are born. It's moments like these where missionaries and where the weak are made strong and the blind see and the captivated are released, where prison doors open. And sometimes that's all we're required to do is give a testimony of that. God Almighty, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sanctify our homes, oh God. Set our homes apart for you, Lord. Give us victory where we've failed. My God, come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the grace to put the blood on the door again. My God, I thank you for this with all my heart. Lord, we ask you to raise your church up in New York City. God, every denomination, every place, Lord, every building that maybe once had prayer in it, we ask you to breathe on it. You showed us in Ezekiel that you can breathe on bones and they can live. Lord, breathe on the churches of this city. Breathe on the believers in Christ. Breathe on us, O God, and we shall live and we shall stand an exceeding great army in this generation. God, give courage to your people throughout the country, Lord, to stand up for Christ. Give courage to those who need to stand up for what they know is right. Give courage for us to go in the prayer closet again and get our strength from God. Give courage, Lord, for pastors to stand up and start preaching the Word of God. Give courage, Father. Give courage in this hour we're living in. Hallelujah. Lord, it's all yours. We have to put it in your hands. We don't have a plan. There's no new thing coming that's going to do this. It has to be you, Lord. It has to be the Ancient of Days. God, we say to you, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. Blessed are you, Jesus. We bless you. We open our hearts, our homes, our churches to you, Lord. My God, we invite you to come and do wondrously, Lord. And we thank you for it and we praise you. And let it begin today in us, those that have responded. Let it begin here and let it begin now. And Father, we thank you for it in the mighty and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart. I will not limit God. Settle it deep inside. From this day forward, where He leads me, I will follow. Hallelujah. God bless you. Remember, 3 o'clock, we meet again. 6 o'clock, one of our most profound services here. There had to be 100 people come forward to receive Christ last Sunday night. Sunday night, testimony night. Make an effort to come out. God bless you. Take a moment to greet one another. We'll see you this afternoon. God bless you.